Clearly, head and neck cancer is a prime example of the critical need for an interdisciplinary approach, including the ENT surgeon, radiation oncologist, and medical oncologist. I met with Dr. Wally Kern, group chairman of the RTOG, for his perspective on where we are and where we're headed with this disease. Dr. Kern began our conversation by describing the usual clinical platform in which these patients are treated.
Most patients with head and neck cancer are first referred to otolaryngologists or surgeons for biopsy and evaluation. And location and stage of disease really determines the algorithm. For most patients who have cancers around the lips and the mouth and the tongue, the initial approach is typically surgical removal with best preservation of function. For those tumors that are a little further back, meaning the back of the tongue, the base of tongue, the pharynx, or the larynx, we've seen over the past two decades that there's really been a clear demonstration that a non-operative approach with both functional and organ preservation has resulted really in just as good a survival rate and perhaps a better quality of life than surgery as primary approach. And the way that's mainly been accomplished is by integrating best radiation and best chemotherapy techniques. And head and neck surgeons, otolaryngologists around the country have learned that the non-operative approach with chemotherapy and radiation has really been a tremendous paradigm shift for many but not all patients with laryngeal cancer, pharyngeal cancer, and base of tongue cancer. The same paradigm shift hasn't occurred in oral cavity cancers. It may in the future, but for right now, probably the best functional results are really with good surgical technique and then postoperative management as appropriate. For an early stage oral cavity lesion, often surgery alone is sufficient therapy. Many patients with oral cavity cancers have a substantial tobacco history. Their risk of a second malignancy might be as high as their risk of a recurrence. And the most common second malignancy is often lung cancer. So those people need to be staged for lung cancer and other cancers in the future. For an early stage larynx cancer, such as a relatively common stage of the so-called T1, N0, M0 cancer of the true vocal cord, biopsy followed by small field radiation alone is usually curative and usually resulting in excellent voice quality and quality of life. Once you start getting into N positive or a higher T stage in the larynx, pharynx, or base of tongue or tonsil, you really are talking about probably the best approach being a combination of chemotherapy and radiation, with really there being pretty clear evidence that the best tumor control comes with the concurrent administration of chemotherapy and radiation, with the pivotal trials mainly using cisplatin-based regimens. The additional therapy that often comes with that, based on extent of nodal disease, is a selective neck dissection in conjunction with the chemo radiation. But we've really seen some excellent paradigm shifts. The key study, obviously, in this was the VA laryngeal trial led by Dr. Greg Wolf from University of Wisconsin, who's a really well-regarded head and neck surgeon, who really demonstrated there was not a single percentage of survival lost by offering patients with advanced laryngeal cancer a chance for voice preservation, laryngeal preservation, as opposed to laryngectomy as initial management. Since that landmark study, most studies since that time have really just refined the best chemo radiation regimen. In that trial was chemotherapy followed by radiation. In a subsequent trial run by the RTOG, we demonstrated that laryngeal preservation is higher if you give the cisplatin during the radiation rather than before. But once again, survival rates were identical.